Boker Tov, good morning. In our retreat, we will many times go back and forth between individual silent practice in the group and practice that is more interactive, that is more with others, that involves speech and communication and being with others. And I think generally in the West, as practice has come, particularly influenced by the traditions of Asia, the emphasis has been, as we said last night, especially on individual practice. And there are many historical reasons for this, but there's been a way that we've had a very strong emphasis on retreats and on meditation, and not so much on how to bring it into daily life. Often at retreats, we do very beautiful practice. And then at the end, we say, it is very good to bring the principles and practices into your daily life. Good luck. Is that the way in Israel somewhat? And this is, for me, partly self-critique. For me, as a teacher, I won't go into the historical reasons, there are a lot of them, but there's a way that I've, for a long time, had a strong interest in having the entirety of our lives, all the parts of our lives, be practice, which of course, that's where we live, right? We don't live so much just on the cushion, maybe a few people do, and I certainly have for periods of time. That's especially what I've done. But if we are to make this real in our lives, we have to find ways to bring this into all the parts of our lives, whether we're silent or speaking, whether it's easy or difficult. And there's a nice line from the Tibetan tradition from a great practitioner named Shabkar, who lived at the end of the 18th, beginning of the 19th century. He said, "Let your life and practice be one." Let your life and practice be one. It's not so easy. There's a cartoon which I brought from the U.S., which shows a crossroads, and one direction it goes highway of life. The other direction, path to enlightenment. So sometimes it seems like there's a choice, but I think we're going to suggest that it really is a question of finding a way to bring the mindfulness, the awareness, the clarity of mind, the wisdom, the being able to be skillful with what is difficult. How do we bring that into all the parts of our lives? So we will be going back and forth, and we think that the silent practice is very crucial, partly because if the conditions are highly simplified, and we can see things that are harder to see in daily life when things are more complex and faster moving. And so all trainings are based on simplicity and keeping the conditions very conducive to learning. In the trainings, which I've been helping to develop for, almost 30 years in the U.S., we have begun to distinguish between three areas of practice: individual practice, relational practice, that is practice involving interaction with others, and then collective practice, practice in the larger society. And in many ways, we have a lot of individual practices from the tradition. We have some relational practices, not that many, from the tradition. And we have almost no collective practices from the Buddhist tradition. We have collective practices maybe from people like Gandhi, Martin Luther King, other sources, right? In multiple traditions. So we've often divided the kinds of practices into these three areas. And generally, there's a lot of creativity required to develop practices that are more relational and more collective. And so the starting point for us here is starting to develop relational practice in the area of speaking and communicating. We can call this speech practice, one way we label it in English. And there we do have resources from the Buddhist tradition and from other traditions. And we'll start with this as a way of extending our practice off the cushion, so to speak. Or we're still on the cushion right now. It's a metaphor. Extending the practice beyond the silent meditation. How do we do that? How do we start to do that? Speech practice is one very good way to do that. We'll be talking later in the retreat about other aspects of daily life practice. And one way that I teach, I sometimes give 50 different ways of deepening daily life practice. And so there's a lot to be said. We'll say some things actually towards the end of the retreat about other aspects of daily life practice, but speech practice is very fundamental. So a few words about speech practice, and then we'll do a few exercises that will start to see how to make this a practice, okay? So just a few words to start. I think it's very clear, probably to most of us, how important communication is, and how skillful communication can be very helpful, very healing, be very wonderful when there are difficulties or conflicts. So we know that if I am in a very difficult place, I have very difficult emotions, difficult situation. Sometimes one person who listens to me carefully can make all the difference, right? That someone who listens with a kind heart and carefully when I'm having difficulties, it's beautiful, very, very important. And there are other ways that there can be kind words at the right moment can be tremendous. Kind words can turn a conflict into something else, turn something difficult into something else. There's a line that I like very much from someone you may know. Do you know Abraham Joshua Heschel? He was a rabbi who grew up in Germany and then left Germany in the 30s to go to the U.S. And he was very active in the 1960s with Dr. Martin Luther King. Some of you know that he engaged in the marches with Dr. King and did a lot of writing, was somewhat critical of the Jewish establishment in the U.S. And it was very interesting. I was in Jerusalem, 4 or 5 days ago, and I was on the bus and I saw someone reading Abraham Joshua Heschel in English. I was very happy. So, and he had a phrase. He talked about holiness in words, which I like very much. Holiness in words. Is that? Raise your hand if you need any clarification at any time when I speak, or to say it again or to go more slowly. Please raise your hand. So kind words can be very important. And we also know, maybe more clearly, that unskillful words can lead to disaster, can lead to problems very quickly. There's a cartoon that I like very much from a magazine called The New Yorker. Do people read that in Israel? Some? A little bit? Maybe not. It's the cartoon shows a woman sitting on a sofa or on a couch, and in front of her is someone who looks like a police detective. He has notes, and he is writing notes. And then behind the couch is a police officer. And then also behind the couch on the ground are two legs coming from a body that is behind the couch. Okay, so maybe someone not alive. Okay, and she says to the police detective, "I misspoke. He misheard. Shots rang out." You get that? I misspoke. I did not speak well. He misheard. He misinterpreted. He heard something different. Shots rang out. So that's a cartoon, but it's a metaphor, isn't it? Very quickly, just a few words can be, you know, a 20-year relationship. You can have 10 seconds of difficult words. You don't talk for 6 months, right? So we know that unskillful speech can be have a lot of consequences, right? And you probably, everyone knows examples from your experience, right? Of difficult of speech. So speech is very, very important. And so the question is how to have our speech be a part of practice. How can we have speech be very much about developing mindfulness, care, wisdom, kindness, being skillful, and so forth. So we will have two components this morning on speech. We could do a lot more. I teach in the US, I co-teach a 7-day retreat just on speech practice. We have about 30 hours of material. And we also have maybe 50-60% silent, and then sessions, maybe 2-hour sessions, twice a day, the rest of the time in silence. We have 30 hours of material. So today, 2 hours. So the best 2 hours. Okay. So, and we'll be primarily focusing on speech practice just with one other person. With speech practice, we say with a partner, in it with a dyad, and so forth. So we'll be doing what we can call very simple speech practice. We can develop practice, and we may tell some stories of bringing speech practice into groups, into families, into organizations, and into the larger society. There's a lot that could be said, you know, that I won't say so much about that. Maybe a story or two, okay? So there are two areas that we'll work with speech. One is bringing, maybe two areas first, 1 hour, then we'll have a break or a chance to do a little walking, go to the bathroom, and we'll come back. In the first part, we'll work with two aspects of speech practice. One is following what we can call ethical guidelines, which is the main resource that we have from the teachings of the Buddha. And I'll talk about that in a moment. And then the second is cultivating some mindfulness during speaking, so that it actually becomes possible at the same time, this is not easy, it becomes possible to have both inner awareness and outer awareness at the same time. You can even try it now. Just keep a little bit of awareness of your body, maybe it could just be of your hands, as you listen to me. And this is not easy and can take, you know, a period of training, but it's possible to have inner awareness and outer awareness at the same time. And this becomes important for bringing the practice into speaking, into daily life, into all the other activities. Okay? So, and then we'll have a break, and then we'll come back, and I'll have a focus on the value of empathy during speech. And I understand the Hebrew word is very similar, empathy, something like that, so it's very similar. So we'll have two sessions with speech, then we have lunch. Okay, go back into silence. So, okay. So the first part is saying a little bit about the ethical guidelines. from the Buddha, and I'll give at the end of the session, we have a handout that I'll give that has a lot of the information for you. We'll give that at the end. I also have a handout for the section on empathy. So we'll have some materials to take home and some to use here. So the traditional teachings on wise speech, or sometimes called right speech, skillful speech, I would say, are mostly about giving guidelines for how to speak skillfully. And there usually are four guidelines, all right? I looked at all the texts, and basically four guidelines for speaking skillfully. The first, and you have to have all of them together, not just one. Okay, so listen for these. The first is being truthful. The second is being helpful. The third is speaking out of a kind heart. And the fourth is having the appropriateness of the speaking, and especially an emphasis on timing, that it's a good time to speak. And you have to have all these together. So you could be very truthful, very helpful, come out of a beautiful heart, and if you have bad timing, it's a mess. Okay? So it's good to know. You have to have all four together. So I'll say a little bit about the four. And these are really general guidelines, and there, of course, are many complexities with each of them. And so I'm just going to be more simple here. You know, there, especially something like truthfulness, you could imagine a lot of complex situations and, what does truthfulness mean? So I won't go into that so much here. But so the truthfulness is basically it's the counterpart of clarity in the mind, that we want to speak truthfully. And of course, when you speak truthfully, you don't have to remember if you're not telling truth, you sometimes have to remember what you said. You know, what did I say here? I didn't tell the truth. You know, and it gets very complex, and mind is very complicated. You tell the truth, it's more simple. You know, of course, it can sometimes be valuable to be silent. That's connected with the other three. So being truthful doesn't mean saying the truth all the time. You know, we know sometimes if we don't come out of a kind heart, we can be truthful with the intention to harm, right? In English, in the U.S., we call this dumping. You know, do you have that term or something like that here? It means you speak the truth in order to hurt someone, to say, you know, here's what I really think of you. And it's not, there's no intention to be helpful or kind. It's just to, you know, but we think, I can speak truthfully. But but here we take the guideline of truthfulness, but we combine it with being helpful. Maybe I don't need to say too much about that. And coming out of a kind heart. And it's important that the sense of coming out of the good heart doesn't mean being too nice. Okay, or is that understood in Hebrew? It doesn't mean being a very nice, gentle meditator. You know? But that you can come out of a good heart and sometimes say things that are very difficult. You can sometimes say things, it's of course much harder to have a good heart with areas that are difficult, right? That's not easy. How do you say something difficult to someone? Or how do you say something difficult in the world, right? How do you speak up? So, for example, Dr. Martin Luther King had a strong commitment to have everything he was doing come out of love. But he said a lot of things that other people did not want to hear, right? And so that's important to say for this third area, that it doesn't mean that we don't say things that are important to say. And of course, that's a whole area. When we teach the 7-day retreats, we do the first two-thirds of the retreat on the foundations of wise speech. And then the whole last third of the retreat, we focus on how we bring the foundations into difficult situations, difficult of different kinds. So that's we won't have so much time to do that here, but it's it's an area that is wonderful to practice, you know, to, and so we actually have wonderful times where we develop the foundations, and then we work maybe with a role play. Do you know role play? Where people say, okay, here's the situation, they define the situation, and you be my boss, or you be my partner, and here's what's going to happen, and we practice together, and it's a lot of fun. You can really develop there. Okay, so, and the last one, yes? Yeah, what's the difference between being helpful and coming out of a good heart? Being helpful is really, we can be helpful without much kindness, you know. It can just be matter of fact. Someone asks me for some information, and I just give the information, and I may not be coming out of kindness. But I think you're pointing to the way that it, often they may be together, right? Often together, but not necessarily, you know. When I once worked with a group for 6 months with these four principles, you know, and we worked together, and each of us looked in which, in everyday life, which were most common, which were easier for us. And I found, especially when I thought I was busy, I would often be very truthful and very helpful, but very efficient. You know, very efficient, maybe not so much my heart there. So, does that give an example? Yeah, so, you know, we can, yeah, okay. And the last area is, there are a few things. It's appropriateness. In the traditional text, there would be pointing out to ask, am I just doing distracted thought? Am I just, I think in Israel you say, blah, 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 right? Right, blah, 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 blah. That would be, not so skillful under the fourth guideline, right? Just speaking, we would say, mindlessly, without mindfulness, right? That's something we look at. But there's also a special emphasis on, is this a good time? Is this a good time to speak? So one way you put this into practice is you actually have people, you know, you might ask, is this a good time to speak about this? And you always ask that question. You know, and you might not speak when you are very reactive, for example, or when you have difficult emotions that have not yet settled. You know, unless, you know, in certain situations, it might not be skillful to speak in that time. Some of you know Thich Nhat Hanh. Anyone study with Thich Nhat Hanh? Yeah, some of you know. And he has a guideline for his community in France at Plum Village, where he has what he calls a peace treaty. If you have a difficult situation with someone, he says, you have to have a commitment to talk about the difficult situation within 1 week. But he says, when you are really right in the heat of things and you are not clear and you're not calm, often not so good to speak. So he says, wait some. So that would fall under the guideline of timing. Okay? So, so we'll do an exercise now, and then we'll have a little bit of discussion. So I would love to do, you know, like the next 5 days on this, but that's not the plan. Okay. So so we'll do an exercise now. First of all, any immediate questions just about understanding this? Again, I'm not going to go into complexities too much. Any questions just about understanding the basics? Yeah.
If you don't come out of a good heart, then you would not help.
Yeah, I think it's, I understand your point, that this is why I say I'm not going to go into all the complexities. In an example of what my experience was, you could see how actually when I say to myself, when I make a distinction between being helpful and being kind, it adds something. In other words, I can, you know, of course, my heart is not bad when I am busy and trying to be efficient, but I'm not really consciously saying, you know, feeling kindness or warmth, right? I'm not really consciously coming out of a good heart. And so, yeah, there'll be, I think, to some degree, a good heart, but maybe not so strong, right? And that's why it's helpful to name this differently, right? And of course, you know, when we mean helpful, it's going to be truthful. So they're not totally distinct, but it's helpful to name the four different areas. So does that help some? Yeah. I'm trying to be helpful and come out of a good heart at the same time. Okay. And be truthful. And I hope this is the right time to end. Yeah. Okay. So I hope, does that help some? Yeah, you're right. They're not absolutely different. I think that's correct. But like in my example, when I find and look at my own tendency, and I look at the four, and then I say, oh, I'm pretty strong with truth when I'm busy. I'm pretty good with truthful and helpful, but I really could have more of my heart there. That's where it's helpful. I can say I can bring more of my heart, even though there may be some there, okay? Okay, so here's the exercise. I want you to think about, just for on your own, just to reflect for 1 or 2 minutes, what would, let me see, maybe, how do I want to develop more in skillful speech? How would I like to have better skillful speech? Okay. Is that, is that a question you can answer easily? I could start with another one, which is probably easier. Maybe I'll start with an easier question. Okay. What is difficult? What is sometimes difficult for you about speech? Okay, is that easier to answer? Okay. So just, yeah.
When I speak, or
just in any example of speech with others, particularly, you know, with others, yeah. So just to reflect, what is just to maybe name 2 or 3 things that are difficult for me in my speech generally. You know, it could be all the speech. It could be at work, family, you know, it could be partner, could be anything, could be activism, anything. Now just think of 2 or 3 or 4 ways that speech is difficult for you. Okay, that is sometimes difficult for you. Does that make sense? So if I were to think about it, I would think if I become reactive, it's hard to speak skillfully, right? Or when someone comes at me and is very judgmental, sometimes it's hard, right? Or, you know, when someone says something to me that I think is unfair, and I want to respond, that's not always easy. Okay? Does those examples help? Okay. So just think for a minute or two about some ways that it's difficult at times to have a skillful speech. So now turn to someone who is sitting near you and form into groups of 2. And we'll do our first exercise. Okay, so you can introduce yourself, but don't talk too much. Just say hello, your name, whatever. And And then I'll give some instructions. So just choose the person. And do you need someone in English? Yeah, why don't you? And raise your hand if you need someone. Okay. Raise your hand high. Maybe even stand up. We have someone in the back and so on. Okay, do you need someone? Raise your hand if you still need someone. So we have right here. Excuse me. Walking towards the back. Okay. Let's see, the person sitting near the door, we have someone for you up front. Okay. Okay, you have... Okay. Okay. So here are the instructions. Okay, here are the instructions now, so listen. Okay. We'll have each person will speak for, I think, about 3 minutes, and I'll time you, okay? I'll do the timing and I'll ring the bell. One person will speak for 3 minutes, and then another person listens. And then we switch, and we have the second person speaks, and the first person listens. And the practice will be for the speaker to try to be aware of one or two of the guidelines which you'd like to use. Like maybe you can do four, all four. And we assume the timing is good. Okay. We assume that there is good timing. And so you might try to just work with one or two. Like when we did the 6-month group, we just did one, we maybe just did truthful, being truthful for 1 month in daily life. And then another month, another one. Here, you can either try to do all four or just do one or two. It's up to you. And that will be what you do as a speaker. For the listener, you don't have to say anything, or actually we ask you don't say anything. If you can, you can do your head like this, and so forth. Nonverbal communication's okay. But it's mostly to listen, and for you I'll give you a second practice, which is as you listen, try to be aware some of your body and inside, and also be aware of what the other person is saying. So for the listener, 50% inside, 50% listening. Not so easy, right? But to try that. And if for the inside, you could just be aware of your hands or be aware of your body. Nothing complicated, okay? Okay? Any questions about the instructions? Yeah?
What should we talk about?
Thank you. Missing piece. Thank you. Yeah. What you talk about is what you just reflected on. Some ways that speech is hard for me. Okay, what you just thought about. Okay, so that's what you talk about. Some ways that speech is hard for me. Okay, is that clear? Just what you thought about. And if you're finished, you can stop and be silent. That's okay. 3 minutes is sometimes very long. Okay, any other questions? Okay, now one of the tools for bringing practice into the world that's very important is intention. We talked about intention earlier. And this is basically before you go into an activity, you set your intention. And it helps. It doesn't really guarantee anything, but it helps. And so we're going to do that here. What we're going to do in a moment, I'll give 10 seconds to set your intention. For the speaker, it's to be truthful, helpful, and so forth, and to speak about the area that we reflected on. And so you, in that 10 seconds, you think about that. For the listener, it's to try to have that sense of being present to yourself and present to the other. Okay, that's so we'll be setting intentions, and then I'll ring the bell. We do 3 minutes. I'll ring the bell again to stop, and then we have a little bit of silent time, and then we switch. Okay? So any questions before we start? Okay. So let's set the intention. This will be done in silence. So about 15 seconds just to set your intention. Okay, right now. And I'll ring the bell. Oh, important thing. We have to decide who goes first. Okay, very good. Raise your hand if you will go first. Every group needs one person going first. Okay? Okay, you know who's going first? Okay, I'm glad I remembered that. That would have been chaos. Okay. So about 15 seconds of silence, set your intention, I'll ring the bell to start in 15 seconds. Okay, right now, silence. Okay, 3 minutes. You could do it with her.
Yeah. She's not right now.
Okay. Okay. So finishing up now, just to go back into silence for a moment and just feel inside maybe what the effect of the speaking was. Could be different things. Now we can open the eyes again, and now we switch. The first speaker becomes listener, the first listener becomes speaker, and again we'll have a short period, about 15 seconds, to set the intention for the speaker. The intention is to use the guidelines, could be all four of them, or especially the first three, or if you prefer, just to take one or two and focus on those. And for the listener, it's to have some inner awareness as you also listen. Could be just very light awareness of the body, of the hands, as you listen, so you have some inner presence. And the reason for this is, in the long run, we want to be able to have some mindfulness and presence as we're also interacting. And it's possible. It can take a little while to develop, but it can be very important. Okay, so again, set your intention now, and I'll ring the bell to start in 15 seconds. Not to start yet, please. Okay, can begin now.
To have your stories be just a little shorter, because then I'm running late. If necessary.
Because each story, I want to show something different.
Okay. Okay. So it's important for you. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
About 15 seconds more. So finish up now, and let's go back into silence for a short time, maybe a minute, just to again to feel the effect of the speaking different ways. Now one last exercise for this part. Now we will talk together for about 3 minutes. And again, the instruction in English, we would say, we would distinguish between content and the process. The content that you talk about is what it was like to do the exercise, okay? What was it like to be a speaker in terms of the guidelines? What was it like to be a listener? How was it to try to have some degree of inner awareness at the same time as outer awareness? What was it like to be a speaker? Whatever came up is okay. And so that's what you talk about. And now what you also pay attention to, because what you can see that we're trying to have a combination of talking about something, but also paying attention to your experience. And so, as you speak with the other, try to have some sense either of working with one of the guidelines, it's your choice, either work with a guideline, say, when I speak now, I will try to be truthful, try to come feel my heart, be kind, either that, or try to just have some inner awareness as you speak. Try to maybe be a little bit aware of your body. Your choice, okay? So those are the instructions. You talk about your experience during the last exercises, and then you also give some attention to taking this as speech practice. You understand? Okay? Any questions about the instructions? Yeah? Say the second part again. Yeah, it's to do the same thing you did either as a speaker or a listener. As a speaker, you worked with one of the guidelines, being truthful, helpful. You can either do that, or you can do also as you did as a listener, you try to have some inner awareness as you were listening. Now, that's harder for most people when you're speaking. But for some of you, maybe it can work. So the easier one would just be to say, I will try to be truthful. Yeah. I can't hear.
You talk simultaneously?
Talk about anything?
Are you talking simultaneously?
I'm not hearing.
Sorry. She's asking if
you said you talk together.
At the same time.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, just normal conversation. Yeah, sorry, thank you for adding. I wasn't clear about that. Thank you. Thank you. Very good. Yeah. So we call this group intelligence. Okay. So yeah, just to kind of know, see, this was to give you an experience of the other conversations, special structure, now, just normal, whatever, just give and take, as we say. Okay? Any other questions? Okay. So again, we will have 15 seconds to set the intention, and you'll see we'll use this throughout the 2 days here, throughout the weekend, intention is really, really important for everything we do. And so I'm hoping by doing this a lot, you will get into the practice and take it home. You know, and if you know you have a difficult conversation with your partner and you sit and say, please, I need 1 minute to set my intentions. Okay. So, little bit of time, 15 seconds to set the intention, and then I'll ring the bell to start. Okay? So I'll ring the bell in 15 seconds. Okay.
Three people who are not participating. Right at straight for the man, straight front. And with the beard. And then Sasna on the end here.
Where is she sitting?
On the side. I better be careful because this is all going on the recording, so it's not so good. Yeah.
Towards the front. So you can have a sense of just very basics of speech practice. You know, it can be quite wonderful to maybe be in a group where you practice this maybe for 8 weeks or for 12 weeks. Try to bring it into your daily life. It can make a big difference. You know, I was thinking, when I worked with that group for 6 months, by my telephone, I had the